Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the HRVC Encounter podcast. This is the podcast where we ask Adam what the most random thing he's lost and then found again is. So, Adam, what is it?
Okay, so I remember as a very young child, my mum gardening, still likes to garden, but she was gardening. And one day she lost her wedding ring. And she was quite upset about that because she's quite fond of my dad. it was a good memory. And then unbeknown to me, she used to kind of like over the next 25 years, every time she kind of potted in the garden, she used to kind of look around near the apple tree where she thought she lost it and just try and have a little look just occasionally. And then kind of time passed. And then fast forward 25 years and they had a fence that had broken down. And I said, do you need any help? And they said, we'd love you to help us fix this fence. So I dug out this fence, massive fence post, big block of concrete. I lifted it out and I noticed something a little bit shiny. And I kind of reached around in the earth and I undusted it. And it was her wedding ring.
Oh, wow.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
I love that. Happy days. Yeah.
Josh, do you have any random things?
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad you've turned the question over to me because I was just thinking... Yeah, it's not, I don't think it's as spectacular as a wedding ring. So, because that's a really cool one. But when I was maybe like 9, I went to the beach and we were kind of like trying to avoid the water. So we were right by the edge of the water and every time the waves would come in, we'd kind of run back to avoid the water. We were fully clothed. And then I was wearing flip-flops. And the water basically just got my feet and swept the flip-flops away into the water. And that was it. I thought, well, I've lost my flip-flops. And it wasn't a 20-year thing like the wedding ring, Adam. But the next day we went back to the beach because it was summer holidays. So we went back the next day and I saw the flip-flops in the water, like bobbing a few meters out. Was it both of them or was it one of them? I can't remember now, but I think I found both of them. I must check with my mum or my cousin. I was with my cousin to see if they remember the story better. But yeah, and I thought it was just a miracle. But yeah, that was a really happy moment for me. But I'm guessing not as happy as finding the wedding ring.
I don't know, flip flops quite handy.
Yes, that is true.
True. No, that's great. I don't think I've got any like that dramatic stories. I don't lose things that much, but I do remember once I was with my friends on the beach and she had, well, her parents had a beach house and she had the key in her pocket and she stood up and the key wasn't in her pocket anymore, and we scoured the whole like beach front section that we were in and I found it under some of the stones. That was a pretty momentous occasion because it was a big section of land that we were trying to cover and it was proper underneath some stones, so that felt pretty good
right.
To find that.
Yeah. That is phenomenal. Oh, yeah, I'm quite good at losing things and then not finding them. I once took my daughter on holiday without any shoes, and when we arrived there, it was like a national holiday and there were no shops open for 3 days, so she had to go barefoot for 3 days.
Wow.
Class. Yeah, I think I'm more in the not finding things category as well. I lost my glasses one time. I don't know how that happened. Like, I put them in the case and when I opened the case the next time they weren't there. And I was on the I was walking home from quite close by and I kind of tracked back and walked back the path and the glasses were just gone. I have no idea how that happened. That's always remained a mystery to me.
On that note, let's roll the intro music.
Hey, I'm Josh. I am one of the hosts here of this podcast. I am 19 years old and I volunteer part-time at Holland Road and I also teach guitar part-time. And if you've been listening to these podcasts, then you probably know that by now. But Sophie, can you introduce yourself for us, please?
Yes, I am Sophie. I'm 20 years old. I'm a student at the University of Winchester studying psychology. I've just finished my second year there and I'm helping out with this podcast for fun, basically. But I'm part of Holland Road. And this week we have a special guest, Adam, who's going to introduce himself now.
Hi, I'm Adam. I'm in my mid to early late 30s. I'm 39.
Sure.
All right. I'm 39. It's nearly. I'm going to have a lockdown 40. If that's going to be fun. I'm a teacher, secondary school, and I'm a father of four. And I am very pleased to be part of this group. I'm just doing it for the money.
Yeah, yeah, that check will come in tomorrow. Just let us know if it doesn't. We'll see about that.
Nice. So yeah, Adam, as you mentioned, you are a teacher. So we're going to be chatting to you a bit about that and how school is at the moment, because it is a bit different. So do you just want to start by telling us where you work, and more specifically, like what age groups you work with?
Yeah, so I work in a big secondary school in West Sussex, and years seven to 11, although obviously 11 have kind of gone, but not forgotten. That's been a bit strange for them to suddenly go like that. Subject wise, I teach geography, and also kind of help out with the pastoral stuff and the kind of Christian vision of the school. So that's kind of what I do. And I'm still working loosely. Mm-hmm. Sometimes in school, sometimes at home. More productively in school than at home. Mm-hmm. But we're working on a rota. So I was in this week, and then I'm not due to be back in for another 3 weeks.
Okay, that makes sense. Is it, just out of curiosity, is it a Christian school?
Yeah, so yeah, it's a Church of England school.
Which is
really significant in terms of what we do and how we do school. But it's quite a big school. We've got over 1,300 students. And at the moment, we've got about 30-odd in each day, kind of children of key workers and vulnerable students.
Do you have any tips for the people who aren't going into school? So people who aren't children of those key workers. So people who are trying to study from home, be that school students or even kind of uni students or other students that might be listening.
Yes. Although people might, you know, it's really hard as a teacher, you're used to people, doing what you vaguely ask them to do. And then maybe when you kind of have to lead your own children, it's not always like that. And the first thing is to know yourself, if you're a student, or to know your children, like know what motivates you. So some people really need a plan and a timetable. Sometimes it's really helpful to work through, to motivate you and to make sure that you do the things that you can set out to do. So other people are really self-regulating, and they almost need to be told when to break. So maybe they timetable their breaks rather than timetable their work. So they actually make sure that they eat properly and they rest properly and they engage with people properly. But we found with ours, a timetable was really helpful just to coordinate even things like access to devices, use of like the internet and downtime. And also even things like, you know, when the bathroom's going to be busy or when people can make themselves some food, just to make sure that there are enough spaces for everybody. Because I understand you might be in quite a confined space. We've got six in our house. Everyone shares a room. So like their own time is also quite important, just to get away from people if they need to. I think one of the most important things I did is I made a really good appointment early on. I appointed my wife as head teacher. Because she's much, much better than me. I'm like the kind of like the slightly dossy supply science teacher who, like, as long as you're quiet, you know, that's all right. But, you know, it's good to have people that you kind of, you agree on what level you're going to work at, and make things realistic, have some clear expectations. If you're thinking I'm going to finish this dissertation next week, but that's not really going to happen. Or if you say I'm going to become fluent in French by September, like have some realistic things. And ask questions. I think sometimes, you know, you think that your teacher or your course leader is going to be really, angry, frustrated, disappointed with how you're doing. And that you're thinking, oh no, I can't do it the way they want me to do it. But I would say, let them know, ask questions. Most people are quite accessible. And in all this, you know, for all people involved in this, I think there is a real propensity for people to panic and to worry themselves about all sorts of things because they don't know the answer. They don't know the end point. They don't know the plans, but God knows. And I think it's really about ultimately not worrying. And I think that's easy to say and it's hard to do, but I think it's something you can do in terms of how you can encourage other people not to panic. You know, you can pass on that message to other people and they can pass it on to you. So being accountable or having a group of people that you talk to about your work is also quite helpful. Don't worry, ask questions, chill out.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really helpful. And I think what you were saying about kind of working in with accountability and talking to other people, we were going to briefly mention how we could work with other people, but of course that's kind of tricky. But yeah, I think that's a really good point that you made. Yeah, just kind of being able to chat to people who are also doing a similar course, and to see how everyone else is getting on, so that we can see that other people are kind of in a very similar situation to what we are.
Yeah, I mean, I can see, for example, the work that I set remotely, I can see how many people have actually done it or even looked at it. And you'd be surprised at the number of people who haven't even looked at it.
Yeah.
You know, people kind of go, oh, no, I haven't done this the way that I really wanted to. But ultimately, some people may not be able to look at it. They may not have the kind of that the infrastructure in their house. They may not have you know, lots of people, particularly low-income people, have to buy internet as like a bundle, and that runs out. You know, so also it's thinking about, if you know people that might be struggling, how could you help them access some of the work? If you can access it and they can't, or if you understand it and they don't, how can you kind of reach out and let them know that it's okay and that you can help them, and maybe you can point them to different places, or, you know, help resource them, or help them out in some way. So what we're doing is we're delivering paper-based resources to lots of our students who can't access work at the moment. But then also lots of people are saying, lots of parents are asking us to, you know, to call them and just to kind of to motivate their children as well, because they kind of need it. So maybe, you know, individually we can do that with other people and just check on how they're doing and try and motivate them if we can.
Yeah, that's really cool. I think that part of like reaching out and staying in like in a community with a classroom, you know, when you can't meet up as a classroom, is really important, in helping each other out with work. And really encouraging.
I think seeing people's faces is really helpful. So what we've done is we've made some assemblies that we've sent out that are quite lighthearted, with us kind of, you know, hopefully giving messages that are encouraging, but also just seeing us do slightly stupid stuff.
Yeah.
Because, you know, school and college and university is a lot of fun, and there's a lot of laughter, and there's a lot of kind of silliness. And I think sometimes you can get so bogged down. If someone's just saying, do this piece of work and do that piece of work, it all becomes about the work. So we've sent out some assemblies just to kind of show that we're still human. And I know that lots of teachers have now kind of gone away from just, here's a piece of work, here's a video of me explaining the work and answering some of the questions that you've asked. So I think people are kind of really craving that human interaction, and that sense that the people who are setting the work, the people behind the emails, are actually just people themselves that have got the same kind of struggles and concerns that they might be having about the work. So I think that's something, you know, that is really helpful. And people are just adjusting of how to do this, because we didn't get very much notice. You know, we were kind of told that the schools are closing. And by the way, you've got to feed the kids if they get free school meals, and you've got to give them some work. So off you go. I think everyone's figuring out like what the best way of doing that is.
So you mentioned earlier that you're still heading in to school. Could you just tell us a little bit more about what it's like still going in and seeing the people who are there?
No, people still exist. It's really it's kind of like going back after the summer holidays, but when everyone maybe didn't have a holiday. And when you go back and go, oh, you're still here. And it's lovely to see people. It's strange because you're adjusting to that kind of that social distancing. So what happens is, in our school, is that we all come in through one central point, and we wash our hands, and we have our temperature taken, and then we kind of go into the school, and everything's spread out. So the classes are very small. So I've had a huge class this week of 7.
Wow.
And we're in like a computer-based room, so they can access all the stuff that's been set remotely, and they each go to their kind of workstation, and they wash it down in the morning, disinfect it, and then they work there, and then they kind of disinfect it again. But during the day they have breaks, and we've done some science experiments in the lab, and we've done a lot of PE, so that's nice. Been done.
Yeah.
Tennis is quite good for socially distancing. You can do that. Yeah. Tennis, badminton, and things like that. So we've done a lot of PE. And I think they've kind of enjoyed the normality of it. I think it's just nice to be able to get in and see people. There's been lots of kind of meetings going on remotely. What you realise is as people, we were made for relationship, and you can really see that when you go in and connect with a group of people again. You go, oh yeah, this is how it's supposed to be. This feels much more natural, much more normal. And it'd be lovely when we can get back to some level of being together again.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely.
So Adam, how can we be praying for teachers at the moment with everything that's going on?
Okay, I think first of all, you know, praying that they know the hope that is found in Jesus. You know, if we're thinking of how we're showing God's love to the people and pointing them towards the source of all hope, you know, pray for teachers to do that, because ultimately they're leading schools, and if people in your leading schools are following Jesus, that's got to be a good thing. Pray for wisdom. There's so many decisions to make. Pray for protection physically. Pray for patience, as they have to juggle often, you know, working with their own children, often very small children. That's really hard. You know, you've got a kid that needs a nappy changing, and you've got someone else saying, you know, how do you answer this A-level question? So I think that pray for rest, you know, amongst all the things they have to do. Yeah, ultimately, it's a great time to start praying for maybe people that you haven't been praying for before. You know, I don't know how often people pray for their teachers or lecturers, or they may not be top of their prayer list, but I think it's a great time to pray for them, because you never know what God can do through this situation, and that's quite exciting.
Yeah, cool. That's great, Adam. Thanks. I'm just going to pray now, if that's all right. So yeah, Father, I just thank you for teachers at the moment.
I thank you for the work that they're continuing to do, either online or in person in the schools. I thank you for the dedication that teachers have to their students. I just pray for protection. Please keep our teachers safe and healthy during this time. And I pray that you will give them perseverance to keep going when it gets tough. Father, please fuel them in that way. And I just also pray for wisdom, wisdom in how teachers are structuring their sessions, wisdom in how they are handling different students with different needs. Yeah, I just really pray for your wisdom in these situations. And I also pray that teachers will have patience with their students, that they will be able to listen to them and equip these students individually for what they need. And I pray for students to have patience as well. They're working at home and things are stressful. I just pray that these students will have patience with the teachers as well. And I also just pray for those struggling to work at home, those that don't have access to online resources as easily. I just pray that you'll provide in these situations. Yeah, and I just pray that teachers will remember to rest as well. Father, that is such an important part of your plan for us. And I just pray that teachers will be reminded of this and be able to find ways to rest and rest in your presence. But ultimately, I just pray that teachers of the country will know the hope that is in Jesus. And I pray that they will reflect that in how they work, because that is such an important message, Father. And I thank you for Adam and his dedication to his students. Thank you for how he serves so faithfully in his school and is such a witness in the school. I just pray that you protect him, keep him safe, and bless him. Amen.
Amen. Great. That's all the time we have for today's podcast.
This has been a HRBC Encounter podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you, Adam, for chatting with us. You can follow us on Instagram at Encounter_HR. We post a new podcast every week on Wednesdays, so look out for that. Thank you so much, Adam, and we will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.